Good afternoon, everyone. We have just kept the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. God's festivals picture and describe God's plan for man. We understand in this plan that God is using human beings to reproduce himself, to reproduce his family. We understand that God is a family, and they have invited us to be a part of that family. Let's begin by turning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And here we're going to see how we have been invited into this family. What designates us as being a part of the God family. I'd like to start out with going over some of these things, but then we're going to be going in a little bit different direction a little bit later. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. It says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you." And we're going to see here in this section of Scripture that God's Spirit in us designates us as something different, as special in God's eyes, and we're actually invited into his family and designated as part of his family if we have his Spirit. It says, "If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," or dwells in all of us, "he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit which dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So we go through a process of repentance, counseling at that time usually. Baptism takes place, the laying on of hands. God's Spirit enters into us. And then this scripture here in verse 14 that we just read takes on another step that we are led by that Spirit, because it says here, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Being designated a child of God in the God family is awesome. And this is some part of the subject that I would like to talk about today. Let's continue reading here. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption," or sonship, "by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Once again, we're being called a part of God's family. We're children of God in his family. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So we see here in this section of Scripture that God's Holy Spirit, which God gives to us, designates us. It signifies something that you are different than somebody out there in the world. God's Spirit in us, and then being led by that Spirit, designates us as a begotten child of God right now. At the resurrection, or at the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, we know by faith, by what we've been taught, that we're literally going to become a child of God in his family. So taking a look at that subject right there, we can call it our family. This is our family. And we've been invited to a very special family. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. A couple other scriptures I'd like to turn to that describe how we are going to be when that change occurs. Here in 1 John chapter 3, We're going to see here, after our change into a spirit being, we will be like God. We're part of His family. It makes sense that we would be like God. 1 John chapter 3, let's read here in verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We don't have all the answers to the future of how everything's going to be. We can speculate. We can have beliefs. We can think maybe this, maybe that. But this says here in our future that we will be like Him in His family. Now that's some awesome scriptures for us to be able to read. So it says here, after our change into spirit, God said that we would be like them. Let's don't ever forget that. Let's continue to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Something else that describes how we are going to be, yet in our future, since we've been invited to be a part to God's family. Since we're a part of this spiritual family that He's invited us into, we're going to see here that we're going to bear God's image. Another description that is being said here. Let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 45. It says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." So we're talking about the physical Adam being first, and then Jesus Christ being that second Adam, or the last Adam. Verse 46, "However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual." The same way it's occurring with us. We're physical first, later becomes the spiritual. Verse 47, "The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust." And all of us, I think we all understand, we're all made of dust right now. And the Bible clearly says, when a person dies, you're returned to the dust. But it goes on. And it says, "And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall," in a future tense, "also bear the image of the heavenly man." God says that we will bear the image of them. So putting these scriptures together, brethren, this family that God has invited us into, that we're going to be like them, have the image of them, we're taking on their characteristics. What an awesome blessing each and every one of us are in. A tremendous blessing. We've been called to live God's way of life. We've been called into God's family. God's family name has been placed on us. His family name has been placed on you and on me. We have to take this personally. It's a tremendous blessing, but with this blessing comes responsibility. God just doesn't hand it to us and says it's automatic. There's responsibility that comes along with this. Do we see the responsibility that we have to God's family? I think all of us see a certain amount of responsibility that we have to our physical families. Whether you're the father and the husband, you have a certain role to play in that physical family. If you're a child, you have a specific role to play in that family. With us, being a part of God's family, we have roles to play. We have rules to live by. We have laws to follow. We have attitudes in order to try to be molded within us so that we can fulfill our role in this family. To make this personal, do we see clearly our family responsibility? And when I talk about our family responsibility, I'm talking about our spiritual family responsibility. Today I would like to focus our attention on the responsibility we have to God's family. If you would like a title, the title is Our Family Responsibility. Our Family Responsibility. For most of us sitting in this room, we were taught God's truth for many years. In my case, it's been since I was 6 years old. I have been sitting in congregations like this, learning, being taught from my parents, being taught from the ministry. We've been taught many years the role of the family, where we fit into that family, what the future family will be like. We were taught about God's family, and we were taught about our place in that family. All of us have. We were taught our responsibilities to God, and as each day goes by, we learn more responsibilities, and we find out how far we fall short for fulfilling those responsibilities. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. I want to see here in Luke that where much is given, from whom much will be required. The people in the world right now haven't been given this precious invitation. Not near as much is going to be required on them than us. We're privileged to know certain things, and we have a responsibility to fulfill some of those things. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 35. It says, let your waist be girded, and in other words, it means be ready and prepared, and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. He's saying, no matter what time of the night or what time of the day I show up, I'm hoping and I'm praying and I'm asking of you to be responsible and be ready, to be prepared and be ready. Verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So we begin to see responsibility that we have to our family that we have been invited into. We have to be ready. We have to be alert. We have to be on guard. We have to be holding on to the truth and the beliefs that we've been taught, that we have proved to be so. Going on in verse 41, it says, then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all the people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. This is part of our job, part of our responsibility here to be ready and to be prepared, to be alert, to be on guard, as a watchman was back then, in watching out for the camp of Israel. Verse 44, truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Down to verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few. And then he ends this section with this statement, the end of verse 48. He says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And I think we all understand that we have been given much. We have been given the most valuable thing that a human being can be given on the face of the earth, as we truly understand the value of what anything's worth. So if we're given the most valuable thing, obviously something is expected in return. So we clearly see here that we have a responsibility to be a part of God's family. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. I want to read a scripture in Hosea for the simple reason that God's knowledge is extremely precious. God expects us to treasure it, to never forget it. You know, many of you sitting in this room, some 50, 60 years, you know, I remember somebody speaking here recently and looking at the envoys. It's so discouraging because nobody was there. Okay? They let that knowledge go. They didn't treasure it. They forgot it. Some of those people probably don't even know when the holy days are this year. Let's read in Hosea chapter 4, and I just want to read verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," and that's God's knowledge, "because you have rejected knowledge." It was a choice. "I also will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of God. I also will forget your children." This verse here can be used as a warning, but I'm wanting to use it on the opposite, that God's knowledge that he teaches us is precious. Just knowing that we've been invited into God's family is awesome. We can't ever forget that. We can't ever reject that, because once we do, we throw it back in his face. We have a responsibility to take that knowledge and to never, ever forget it. It's a responsibility that we have to our family. We as God's people are held accountable for what he has taught us. It seems obvious to me that right now, God is determining whether we're going to hold fast to that knowledge, whether we're going to hold fast to that truth. Many, many, many people that we have known has forgotten it. Whether they've rejected it, I don't know, but they've forgotten it. They're no longer with us. I think God is looking at us to determine how responsible we are in this dedication to his family. We have witnessed that living God's way of life is very difficult at times in our life. You don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, it says, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." We've always been taught it's not going to be easy. In Matthew 24, God tells us we must endure to the end. Using that description of endure, there's obstacles. It's not going to be an easy path. When we focus on our priorities in life, when we truly stop and think about our priorities, it always comes back to family, to God's family, to our family. If we truly understand the priorities on this earth, if we stop and think about it, it always comes back to family. Christ viewed his spiritual family in a very special way. Let's read about that in Matthew chapter 12. We are to use Jesus the Christ as our example. It's very interesting how he answered a question here in Matthew chapter 12, how he viewed his spiritual family. Matthew 12, let's begin reading in verse 46. It says, "While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.'" And they were talking about his physical mother and his physical brothers. But take a look at how Jesus the Christ answered, where his focus was. Verse 48. But he answered and said to the one who told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples, just like all of you in this room right here. If he was here, he'd be stretching out his hand, pointing to each one of you, and say, Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and sister and mother. Here Christ is showing us the importance of our family. He saw the importance of the spiritual family, and he made a point to teach about it with this type of answer. He said, Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my spiritual family. That's responsibility that we have, because we have to do the Father's will. It's extremely important that each of us submits to our specific role in God's family. All of us are part of the family, and just like a physical family, we all have responsibility. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to be spending some time in Ephesians here, and I'm probably going to be doing more reading than what I typically would, but there is a lot of instruction here regarding responsibility that we have. We're going to see here our responsibility to our family. Let's begin in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. It says, Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Okay, stop right there. We used to be in the world, in darkness. We were strangers, foreigners, using his descriptions here. But now, since our baptism, since God teaching us precious truth, precious knowledge, giving us his Spirit, being led by that Spirit, he says, you are now the fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I think we have to stop and meditate on that. How important is that statement to us? How much are we willing to fulfill our responsibility in this family that's being described? Verse 21 has a part to play with our responsibility. It says, In whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. We have a responsibility to do our part, which is just one person within the family, out of this room. And then we add this room to another room and to other people all across this earth that combine together as a family. Each one of us are to do our responsibility to grow into a holy temple. That's huge. The responsibility that God is asking of us. He went on to say, In whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. This maturing and growing process is taking place within us. We are no longer the strangers and the foreigners. We can't say that anymore. We are now the members of our family. With much given, much is required. Responsibility comes back slapping us upside the head every time we trip up. At least that's the way I feel when that happens to me. Let's continue in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 8. It says, To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, that being the Apostle Paul, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So Paul here sees the honor of being able to teach truth, teach God's knowledge to other people, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery. And this mystery is simply hidden truth. Paul is allowed to be able to teach this hidden truth to other people within the family, which from the beginning of the ages have been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Let's go down to verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Paul recognized the leader of the family. He talked about him here. He bowed his knees to him. He worshiped him. And he prayed and asked help from him. And he continued, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. That's why we're here. It's part of our responsibility. We're here to learn. We're here to learn the width and the length and the depth and the height that God wants us to learn. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the goal. That's where he's leading us with that Holy Spirit. He says those individuals that are being led with that Holy Spirit, that's where we're being led, toward to the fullness of God. We see here that Paul was asking God to help all of us understand this process that God is using to teach us his way of life. Let's go over to Ephesians 4 to continue in these books of Ephesians. Let's begin in verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. It's back to responsibility that we have to our family. Verse 2, with all lowliness. So we have to learn lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's a mouthful of responsibility in those few verses. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Now, Mr. Pennelly had a sermon on these gifts that are given to each one of God's children. Each one of us are given gifts. It's not for us to hold on to and be selfish. It's to share with our family. The family needs your gift. You must be willing to share it. The ministry are men who are given gifts to fulfill roles for what purpose? To help the family, to edify the family, to build up the family. And he goes on to say in verse 11, he said, and he himself gave some gifts to be apostles, some men to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. But take note what the purpose was. It wasn't to worship the ministry. It wasn't for them to lift themselves up. They were there to serve the family, to help the family to become to the end of the road or to the end of the goal that was God's purpose. Verse 12, what did the ministry do? It was for the equipping of the saints, verse 12, for the work of ministry or the work of serving, for the edifying of the body or the building up of the body of Christ. For how long? Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or to a fully mature man, to the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. The ministry is helping us learn what we need to learn and mature and grow into a holy temple, learning that fullness of God. Going on, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. That's the goal of the family, for all of us that are still human beings, to come up to the fullness and the stature of Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love. Each one of us has responsibility as a part. We have a responsibility individually. We have a responsibility as we're intertwined together. Looking at us today, in the year 2013, where God's people are, it's sad. It's hard to understand some of these verses when we're so scattered. Let's continue over to verse 25. It says, therefore, putting away lying. And this is a whole list. I'm reading this just because of the responsibility we have. It says, you have a responsibility, therefore, put away lying. Each one speak truth with the neighbor, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We're all members of the family. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification or building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers or to those in our family, to help edify them and to build them up. Verse 30 is very, very important in our responsibility. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Or in other words, do not go against the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We go through this Bible, and our responsibility grows the more we read. The responsibility that we have to our family is great. Let's go over to Ephesians 5, which is the last few verses I'll read in Ephesians. Let's begin reading in verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness when we were in the world, but now you are light in the Lord. So his instruction then is in his next statement then is walk as children of light. Live your way of life in the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Let's go over to verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And as we look at the subject of responsibility and we read these statements, just one right after the other just keeps coming and coming. But we have help through all of these things to be able to accomplish it. Verse 15, seeing then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the Lord is. So we see here, just reading some of these scriptures in Ephesians, that we do have responsibility when much is given, much is required. So with this in mind, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We know that this chapter has to do with spiritual gifts. Getting back to Ephesians 4, that each one of us are given spiritual gifts for the benefit of the whole family, or the whole body. Let's read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Going down to verse 4. Now there are various kinds of gifts, or different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. We all are given God's Holy Spirit, it's the same Spirit, but are given different gifts. Verse 5. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And that's what we've said. The gifts are given not for our selfish use, but it is for the use of our family. It's given to each one for the profit of all. Verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith." And you can go through and read some of these gifts that are given. Going down to verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And I might add here, so also is God's family. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body," and I can add here, one family, "whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" So if our gift's not the same, does that mean just because I don't have the same gift as you that I'm not part of the body? Or contrary, that you wouldn't be part of the body? He says no. He's giving us different gifts to supply to help the rest of the family. Verse 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling?" And then he says this in verse 18, "But now God has set the members," that's each one of us, "each one of them, in the body just as he pleased." He set each one of us in our family just as he pleased. Going down to verse 23, "And those members of the body which we think," and the key word here, "that we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." Once again, the gifts are given to help the whole family, to help each other. Verse 26, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." All of us are part of our family, but we're members of that individually. Here we can see that God has designed our family so that we help each other. Some may appear to be less desirable or presentable, but he says they're more important. Today we have only seen part of our responsibility that we have to our family. We're going to continue learning more and more about our responsibilities as every day goes on. Being invited to God's family is an awesome opportunity. Our family has bestowed on us this precious truth. All of us have been given truth, his knowledge. Do we treasure it? Do we treasure this information? Then once we do we see our responsibility? If we truly treasure it, the responsibility that we have is nothing. It's for the most valuable thing on the face of the earth that can be offered. With this awesome invitation also comes responsibility to our family. We need to meditate on the value of this invitation. It's a tremendous blessing to be invited to God's family, but with that invitation comes responsibility. Let's be sure we are doing our part in fulfilling our specific family responsibility.